friends, Bricky here. Welcome back to another episode of WYFP. Today might be a interesting episode in that I post everything over on Squarespace. Squarespace 100% is how I was able to build this business. Dan Culkin said, hey, there's this new website. It's called Squarespace. It's all drag and drop. I think you could build a proper website for the podcast in one afternoon. Well, Dan, as always, was thinking about how his brain works and not mine. So after several afternoons, I was able to build a website. I was able to create the Circle of Trust later on in that same year. But it was that usability that made it happen fast, right? I was doing a full-time design job, doing craft fairs every weekend, silk screening my own posters, running a web store. Like, we were burning the candles at both ends, and that's when you don't have time to make a website. So Squarespace was perfect. And I owe a lot of success to Squarespace, but I also owe a major failure to Squarespace in that when you upload posts inside of a Squarespace blog, right? When you upload a post inside of there, sometimes the schedule thing sticks. And when the schedule thing sticks, it will default to PM. And you know, I know. Double check your work. But sometimes when you're doing all the work and you're staring at it with bloodshot eyes, you miss the AM, PM. So the reason why I start out today's episode with this story is that I accidentally announced that this was going to be recorded 2 hours past when it was recorded. And I caught that right when I went live and said, guys, I made a mistake. And this is the worst thing about making a mistake. And I see that I've got a bud that showed up here today. But this is one of the worst things, is that when you put in the extra effort, right? All I wanted to do was go to bed last night. Like, no. I got a schedule that we're recording tomorrow morning. And you go the extra effort and then you mess up the extra effort. That's when it really, really burns you. Carl, I have asked you to unmute your microphone. How you doing this morning, bud?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing, Mark?
Dude, it's good to see you again. You have been absent, noticeably absent from the, not absent, I know you got a kid, but you've been noticeably absent from WYFP. What have you been up to, bud? You been busy?
Yeah, well, it's good to see you. We are actually up in Michigan because last summer we came up here because of pandemic, and I was working from home, and so my work was like, yeah, I guess it doesn't matter where you work. And
yeah,
my wife's family comes up here, and I'm from Virginia, for anybody who doesn't know.
Right.
And I was like, well, can I do that again? And they're like, sure. So we were been like traveling and getting ready for this and stuff. So we're up here for like 6 weeks.
Oh, that's awesome. So is this going to be a new family ritual going to Michigan in the summers?
Yeah. It's really cool up here. And I think the first time we've been coming up here for like, I don't even know, like 10 years, maybe. No, like 7 years.
Yeah.
And first time I came up here, we used to go to like vacation spots. So when we lived out west, we would go to Southern California, or you go to like, you know, like the Outer Banks and North Carolina or whatever. But it's really nice to not have to like think about planning a vacation.
Well, there's nothing worse than the vacation that you come home and you're like, yeah, I went to Europe for 10 days, but I feel exhausted. And now I'm supposed to work for the next 8 months with, you know, 3 day weekend here, a week off here for Christmas. Like, the vacation that exhausts you, you're almost like, was that a smart move?
Yeah. So it's nice, 'cause then it's just like, you don't have to think about fitting everything in.
Right. Right.
I mean, I'm still working. I'll take a week off probably in a couple of weeks.
Dude, when Beth and I lived in upstate New York, she, you know, in the Greek family, whatever they are to your dad, they are to you. So when I say Beth's cousin owned a bunch of property out on the Lake Erie, I'm really talking about her dad's cousin, who was a defense attorney. Very, very interesting guy with tons of amazing stories. Had two sons that really just didn't care about what the old man was into. But with my obsession with meeting characters and fast money, he knew that I would sit at the edge of any story that he would tell me. And so he and I became buds. because I just knew all the questions to ask to get him going and was fascinated with him. But to what you're saying is he owned a lot of property out on Lake Erie that, you know, maybe somebody had to get rid of in a pinch when they couldn't pay their legal fees. So we would get this house from him, and essentially the house that we would stay at, he owned a big, beautiful home on the lake, his second home. And then he also owned this huge like campground, right? Where people would put up these really modern looking trailers, not like a mobile home, but like a modern like camper. They had lofts in them. They're really beautiful places. They'd put in decks, they'd put in landscaping. And I asked them, I go, why would somebody do this versus a vacation home? He goes, no property tax. And property tax in the state of New York, when you're water adjacent or on the actual edge of the water, is insane. So they pay me peanuts. They have their little plot of land. They come out here. They drink their face off. They wander back to their little cabin. Just, you know, pass out. The kids play with each other. The parents get ripped. And he goes, it's just, it is such an affordable way to have a getaway. But the house that we would stay in, this is the genius of the house we would stay in with his, is that he kept one regular house between them and his house. And it was like the barricade to like, so he wouldn't have to see him. Cause like, if I don't have to see him, I don't have to help him. But getting to the point of your story is Beth and I would go out there and we would set up shop. We would still be working, but working in a different environment when you can like get off a little bit early and go take a walk with the family or go down to the beach or whatever. Cause you're in Michigan, you throw a rock, you're going to hit a lake. And, it's a different way of living. And you realize people that have the means, that have the money, why they do enjoy the ritual of like, well, we live here these months, then we go here these months, because it just really is like a nice emotional reset of the brain. And as you and I are on the edge of 4th of July weekend, that's what we love about, you know, Memorial Day kicks off the summer. 4th of July says, somehow you better start partying because you've ended up in the middle of your summer. And then Labor Day says, I hope you had a good summer. And if I like anything about Labor Day, Carl, even though I'm already rushing past 4th of July, is you know how in the summer everybody's doing what you're doing? You're like staying here for 6 weeks. You're kind of checking your email. You're clocking out at 3 o'clock. Like you're kind of living your life. The whole world is on Carl time right now, right? And that's great. But eventually, about the third week in August, you kind of, I get this itch. I'm like, I'm kind of looking for Labor Day to happen because I'm ready for everybody to get back to work. Because that grind from September to October to half of November, that 2.5 months is when everybody works the hardest out of the year. I love that moment in the year.
Yeah. Well, just going off of that, and you live in a beach area on the other side of the country.
Well, I thought you were going to say paradise, but go ahead.
Coastal, yeah, that goes without saying. But we're on coastal Virginia, you know, like, so we have East Coast resort area near us. And usually by the time I'm getting to Labor Day, sorry if you can hear my, that's my 7-month-old nephew out there.
I was hoping it wasn't your wife.
No. By the time I get to Labor Day, I'm sort of like ready for the people who are like visiting to leave.
Sure. I mean, there's just,
okay, I love the fact that you guys are here.
Yeah.
Go back to your life.
You know, because when you're a kid in the summertime, you don't have a car or a means. And my family never sent me to summer camp. That's one of the, like, I did everything for myself as an adult. Like, I took myself to Disney World. I took myself to summer camp as an adult when I was an art teacher there. But one of the things that after a while of just hanging out with the same kids in your neighborhood, like, I was always ready for back to school. I was also ready to get away from my stepmom. But I've always loved the ritual of fall. That being said, 4th of July weekend is just kind of one of those moments where, you know, the summer kind of always has a very loose start. We like to call it a soft opening to summer. But by 4th of July, your mind just clicks in like, oh yeah, like I'm in the middle of a summer of my life. And one of the things that you notice is a lot of the media personalities that you enjoy, they take long breaks, you know, at your work or your clients, there's always a week where each week it's like somebody important. Well, we can't do the meeting that week because Davidson's away. We can't do the weekend that way because Miller's away. You know what I mean? Like there's just this constant juggling of somebody is always missing. And I just, as much as I love the chaos of summer, I also suffer from seasonal depression. I get sad every summer, but I love the ritual of fall. So here we are on the edge of 4th of July, and I'm like, come on, Labor Day, only because I love when everybody gets back to work. We're just joined by Big Steve up in Canada. He's like, what the fuck are all these make-believe holidays? Because the only thing that he's going to be celebrating is going to be this. Is today June 1st? No. I'm looking at the wrong calendar. Oh, the only thing he's going to be celebrating is this Thursday. Happy early Canada Day, Big Steve. And I need you to unmute your microphone there, bud. There we go.
Yeah, I guess Canada Day is a thing. I mean, it's kind of, we have our own issues up here, which are kind of putting a bit of a damper on it. But,
Wah, we live in Canada and everything's going wrong. What are the issues up in Canada right now? I'm not well versed on it.
There's a bunch of various graves of Indigenous children being found. That kind of stuff, which is, you know, really.
Hey, somebody swept it under the rug and be like, "Hey, we'll deal with this later." Yeah.
Well, part of which is the Canadian government itself. So
knowing what I know from living in Canada and celebrating many of Canada Days inside of Toronto, going down to Nathan Phillips Square, hanging out on the beach, you know, seeing all these different celebrations in Toronto and enjoying Canada Day. And Carl, what I loved about when I lived in Canada is I would party hard on the 1st, recover on the 2nd and 3rd, and then go twice as hard on the 4th of July. Like, it was just like, yeah, come on, North America. If Mexico was fucking smart, they'd claim, like, you know, the 2nd or the 3rd, you know, or the dose or the trace in between those two. But, you know, Mexico, they always celebrate Cinco de Mayo, which I don't know which day that's going to happen this year. But Big Steve, the story of the Indigenous people being sort of, you know, that little, shh, nobody will notice if we do this. It seems very un-Canada. Like, everything I know about Canada, this seems so off-brand for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that a lot of people really try not to talk about. And then just like every once in a while, it does get brought up. And then
sure.
People try to be like, don't talk about that. You know, we want to seem like the nice guys. And, you know, there definitely are issues like that. And, you know, I think even more so now with a lot of the various social justice things coming up. And
sure. Well, I mean, we're in a weird moment with history, right? Where,
yeah,
I think everybody, and let me just interrupt for just 1 second here. Thank God America doesn't have any skeletons in its closet. Right, Carl?
I was just going to say, I mean, if you want to take any lesson from anything we've done in the past 4 years, you guys could have a giant parade on that day, because then people forget about everything and you can put your military.
For sure. Get those, you know, tanks going down Pennsylvania Avenue, ripping up the street. No, thank God that America has always been very generous and gracious to its Indigenous folks, and we've always treated them with the uttermost respect. I don't know, though. We're in an interesting spot where, of course, our history is horrible, right? Not only is mankind's history horrible, the planet's history is horrible. Like, it's all Manny showing up, like, hey, what did I miss? Well, you can listen to the first 13 minutes when the podcast comes out, brother. Not only is mankind just horrible, but we all personally, like, I am the best version of myself right now. And it took a lot of years of evolving to get to this moment. And I hope that I can say in 5 years from now, I am better than I am right now, right? Like, we should always be looking at being good or being right as a moving target. And, you know, recently I was live streaming and somebody's like, hey, Bricky, I saw you hanging out with these people in one of your videos. I go, yeah, they're awesome. I'm enjoying them. I go, well, one time in the park, you came up and you talked shit about them to me. And I thought, one, that was a very, very shitty move of that person, right? To like, I want to essentially like kind of blackmail you on your live chat that you said something bad. But he probably thought that I was going to go, oh, no, I didn't say that. You know what? I have a history of talking shit about a lot of fucking people. And most of the time I did it in front of a microphone. And so I just said to the guy, I'm like, whoa. you're not going to hold me hostage on my own words. Have I been shitty towards other creators? Absolutely. Was I jealous of other people? Absolutely. Did that jealous come through in some of my negative comments? You better fucking believe it. You know why? Because I'm a human. And at least I can admit that if I meet people that I thought like, eh, I don't know about those two. They seem a little bit weird. And then you meet them and they're really, really sweet and endearing people and you become buds with them. I think the best thing you can do is go, you know what? I was wrong. I changed my mind. I apologize. So when this dude tried to hold me hostage in my own chat, and first off, I said, whatever they've done to you is not nearly as shitty as what you just did to me. You want to talk about not being a citizen of Disneyland? You need to take this attitude down to Knott's Berry Farms with Biggie. That's where you belong, my friend. By the way, Biggie just showboating in Knott's yesterday. Oh, look at all this great stuff I can do with my kids. Shrimp and pineapple for $9. Like he needs a fucking deal on shrimp or pineapples. Regardless, the point of the story is that after this shitbag basically tried to blackmail me on my own YouTube channel, I went straight over to those people. That they were like, oh, you know, it's not what you told me a month ago. And I don't even know who this person is. So they probably said something. I go, that channel's goofy or, you know, I don't watch those guys, whatever, you know, not that big of a deal. But I went straight over to him. And I said, hey, man, I had a thing happen to me in my live stream today. In fact, I texted him. I said, you guys are at the park. I want to talk to you as soon as possible. I had something weird happen in my live stream. So first I talked to the guy and the couple, Spencer. And I said, you know, this thing happened. And I explained to him what I just explained to you. And he goes, dude, he goes, don't worry about it. He goes, we all talk shit until we get to meet each other. Everybody's jealous. Everybody feels this way. He goes, I used to talk shit about X, Y, and Z. And now they're some of my best friends. And then I went and talked to his partner, Katie. And I told it to her. And she goes, do not let this bother you for a second. She's like, what you don't know yet, because your channel's still small, is the trolls try to get us to work against each other. You may not have even said anything to this person. They're just trying to ping you against us because they somehow love this. So the point of all this is, and getting back to the indigenous fucking people hole that Steve put us in today in today's podcast, like, hey guys, you know what's bad? 1,000 years of oppression. But the point is, we all make mistakes. We all say dumb shit. We all do fucked up things. And if you're willing to not admit it, then you're at fault. And then you're wrong and you've learned nothing. But if you're willing to admit that you fucked up, if you're willing to go straight to somebody and be like, look, man, I might have been fast and loose with my opinions before I met you guys. I hope that doesn't ruin the friendship that we're making right now. That's where you need to be. So look, man, I believe America could be a better version of itself. And in fact, the last 6 months, or sorry, not even 6 months, it's only been 4 months. The last 4 months have proven how you get a certain couple of individuals out the door and the drama, the stress, the friction, the fighting, it goes down severely. But what are we going to do as a society, right? Are we going to continually to talk about what we did wrong in the past, or are we going to focus on what we can do right in the future? And that's where I get in this cancel culture. Like, you know, people do fucked up shit. They should definitely, definitely be held responsible for it. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But how many times do you have to say you're sorry? How many times do you have to go through the motion of like trying to make it right? Now, granted, there are severities in fucking up. There's a difference between, being somebody who maybe kiss somebody that didn't invite it and being a full on rapist. Like, you know, there's gauges in all these things. And who am I to say, you know, what the level of, oh, that's lighthearted and that's hardcore. I mean, the court of law would define that. And also victims would define that, but there are ranges in what people can do. So yeah, some people like Bill Cosby, you're not going to get a pass. You need to rot in jail and do what you did, over and over again. The cop that just went to jail for killing George Floyd. Like, I don't think that he comes back from that. And I don't think that he deserves to come back from that. But what are we going to do, Steve, as a society, right? Like, at some point, we got to keep moving forward and try to figure out how to right the wrongs of the future. You know what I mean? Like, we got to get past the past. And I feel like a lot of people right now are having this almost joyful time in going back into the past. And be like, but what about this? What about this? Okay. It was all fucked up back in the day. Guess what? Everything that you heard when you were a kid, every movie you watched when you were a kid, it was racist by today's standards. that doesn't make you fundamentally a broken or bad person. If you can recognize that today and not watch racist stuff right now and not sing racist songs right now, you have improved. You get what I'm saying, bud?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you got to learn to celebrate the things we did get right as well.
Sure. Sure.
You know, going back to your episode on Monday you had with Mort, you were talking about Sam the Record Man when you lived in Toronto. Oh,
what a place.
And how, even though it's closed down, one of the cool things they did there was they saved the giant neon sign from the front of it.
Yeah, because that was a Toronto icon, right? And
yeah.
And that became a part with living in Buffalo. Buffalo, New York at one point was like posed to just be this phenomenal city of the future. They had so much going on there. And then due to mismanagement in the city, and also the city was basically tethered to the steel industry, and the steel industry would go overseas. So Buffalo kind of, you know, crumbled and fell upon hard times, and a lot of people ditched it and went other places, and the people that were left kind of had a bad attitude. But Buffalo got into this weird position of like, well, how much of the yesterday do we save? You know, all of these houses were built 100 years ago and have a bit of a historical reference to them. All these factories show what America was like during the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. But how much of yesterday do we save? You know, like, only so many of them can be converted into condominiums. Only so many old buildings can be the new home to Whole Foods, right? Like, how do we save enough of our history and move on to a better future? Like, you can't save them all. And that was Best Dad's thing. He's always like, you can't save them all, Mark. Like, downtown has to get rid of some of these buildings. It's right into its core. We need to make it better. And I was just like, just keep talking, Jim. I love everything that you say because of your accent. But I just think that we're in a really awesome moment in time that things got so bad. America, North America, basically just like modern civilization, we all just had to really look in the mirror and be like, can we be better? And I think many of us answered the question, yes. And I think many people, my fucking wife has been so impressive to me how she has taken the last 4 years and really made it a turning point in the words that she uses, how she understands the world, how she understands different people in different positions. Like, you know, the type of content I do with AID, I feel like most people are there with me. But when I get into the Disneyland content, that is just a slice of Americana, right? Like, those parks, everyone goes through their gates. And I cannot tell you guys how many different conversations I've had to have with people in that world about, no, Disneyland is right. They should get rid of their old attractions that have ties to slavery, or attractions that, you know, basically make the black man out to be the boogeyman. They should go through the park and clean it up and make it more representative of everyone. And in that particular world, I get pushback. You know what I mean? Like, MAGA people loved them some Disneyland. And I do get pushback in that world. And I don't back down from it at all. You know, like, I think we're all in a moment where we just kind of figure out who we are, where we're going, and what our morals are. But the point of this, too, is that there's just some people that it seems that they take pleasure in the canceling. They take, you know, it's like, just like I got addicted to the bad news cycle of Trump. Like, I was 100% addicted to what Dum Dum said today. And I found a weird pleasure in it, which was how I was managing my my stress levels of him being around, you know? And I think many of us got sucked into it because we just, if you give Trump credit for one thing, you never knew what was going to happen next, but you kind of knew it was going to be worse than the last thing that he did. So you just kept hanging on. But also, as like somebody who didn't identify with his politics or his views, you just couldn't stop watching because you're like, how far will America fall? And so watching every headline for some of us was our survival mechanism. For others, it was ignoring it as much as possible was how they survived. So we all kind of went through it in our own way, but that's what survivalism is. And I think that a lot of people have gotten addicted to the canceling. A lot of people have gotten addicted to calling others out. A lot of people have got addicted to like, well, this is fucked up too. And it's like, well, Yeah, a lot of things are fucked up. How much of it do you let it hold you back, and how much of it do you let it set you free to a better tomorrow? So anyways, this conversation has no beginning and it has no end. I want to say hello to my man, Manny, out of Miami. Manny, unmute that microphone and do not fucking say any goddamn thing about like, well, Bricky, I came from Cuba. You have no fucking idea how hard it was. Get me out of this hole that Steve put me in.
Florida man?
I don't know. Manny, talk about your pins. You know, bring that. That'll put us in a good place.
I refuse to bring self-promotion into the AID space.
No, no, no. I am begging for self-promotion right now. Anything to get us out of this conversation. Hey friends, I want to tell you all about Garm. Garmcompany.com, that's graphic artist resource merchant, has a Procreate brush bundle that's on sale for everybody, but even cheaper for you by using promo code AID site-wide. What are you going to find in your Procreate brush bundle? It features 4 Procreate brush sets to create the ultimate set of tools for a wide range of styles and design and illustration. This collection will have you covered in all fronts. 61 rugged, gritty, and clean liner brushes, 42 halftone and crosshatch brushes, 32 stippling brushes, and 28 grain pressure shader brushes. The Procreate brush bundle set helps you save time and get to that desired look that you're trying to achieve with your next illustration project for yourself or for your client even faster. No more afternoons wasted on your own dime trying to figure out that next look that you want. It's already been perfected by the professionals over at GarmCompany.com. That's GarmCompany.com, site-wide coupon code AID.
I'm doing what you said, what you've been saying forever, and swallowing the fear and forget the rest of it and making my first set of pins for myself.
Oh, that's awesome. So let me ask you this. What was the theme that you went with?
I didn't go with any one specific thing. I took some pieces that, I've had as stickers that people have liked for a while and, people have been responding to and went with that. If I get into my own head too much and try to come up with one overriding theme of something, I'm going to get in my own head and it's going to take a month and I'm never going to do it.
Sure. Sure. So you did the smart thing. You went with some of your greatest hits. These are things that people have told me that they like. These are things that people enjoy. And I'm just going to take these designs, tweak them, and get them turned into an enamel pin.
Yeah.
So have they already gone live?
They have not. I took them back in, redrew them to get them nice and clean and press ready. And I should be placing an order Monday. 2-3 weeks turnaround, I guess. So that's awesome.
So
it'll be fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. Make it a big step. I respect that. You know, have you thought about how you're going to photograph them? Because that's one of the blind spots in making your own merchandise is when you go to sell them, you have to have good photos. Have you considered that part yet?
I will get through photographing them the same way I got through my college photography class, and that's hand the reins over to my wife, who is a much better professional photographer than I am. I would shoot stuff, and we would go into the dark room, and she'd be like, okay, press the button on the enlarger. Technically, you've done it, and your teacher won't kill you. And she'd do all the whole thing.
It's interesting. But when I went to school back then it was communication arts, you had to take photography classes. And I absolutely hated photography classes because whereas art is just so, or art, you know, illustration is you live in the moment, right? Like you follow the next line to the next line, right? Like you do, it's a dance between your imagination, your hand and your mind. Graphic design is like just really fun math. You know, if I put this over here, does this work? And you're in Adobe products, moving it all around, or back then the Macromedia freehand products. But photographing back then with, black and white film camera, it was like being a fucking scientist, right? And going in the dark room and buying all the chemicals. And it was like you never knew if anything was going to work until the very, very end. It would be like literally designing on your Mac but you can't see the final product until you hit Apple P and print it out, right? And I hated that, that you had no idea where you were going to be at in the process until you finally got to the end of it. So yeah, that is a, that's a flashback. Yeah. Well, Manny, good luck on these pens. Congratulations on making the big move. And let me ask you this question. I'm going to go around the room and ask everybody this question to keep with our theme of our beautiful cover that I made today. What was one of the things that stressed you out the most during the last 4 years that you feel is already gone during these last 4 months?
The imminent threat of militarized immigration police, I guess, on some level.
Yeah.
Like, that was a thing that was much more actively happening. And we have no guarantees that this guy isn't going to, you know, crack down or do other things. But the other guy relished it to the point of fetishism.
You're absolutely right. He made it a sport. He made it a bumper sticker. He made it a mantra that people, look at this fucking guy who just showed up. He would make it.
wait, who had it? Who had it? Who won? Steve? He would stop and at least comment. We're talking about Doc, right?
Yeah, Doc Reed just showed up and he looks like a fucking YouTuber over there with his glasses on, like he's getting ready to shoot a vlog. Hey everybody, what's up? I'm out in Costa Rica today. Check it out. Today we're going to eat at this new restaurant called Lion. It's hard to tame the taste of this new poke bowl that I just got out of the Caribbean Sea. But Manny, you're absolutely right. He made a mantra out of immigration. And, you know, obviously you have to have some set of rules. You can't let everybody in. You know, it's a very delicate, delicate situation. So many beautiful people come to America and they enrich it and they make it better. That's how our country was formed and how it should stay. But there has to be some set of rules or regulations. So it gets to be in this slippery slope of like, how much is enough? How much is in? That all being said, that what I just said is immigration based out of love. We want people to come to America. What's the proper, just way to get them here? The other way was, how do we make all of these people sound like villains that are coming to steal your children and steal your jobs? And, oh, once that caravan makes its way to North Carolina, everybody in Raleigh is going to be dead. Blood in the streets once the caravan makes its way to North Carolina. I don't think the caravan ever made it a mile if they made it a block. So I totally get that.
We elected what's his name from South Park. They took our jobs. it was the personification, the godification of that one character.
Absolutely. All right. Yeah. I'm gonna move over to Doc Reed. Doc, what's up, bud? I haven't seen you in a while. Welcome to WYFP. What's up, bud?
Not a lot. How you doing?
Explain the sunglasses to me. Did you get eye surgery today?
No, I still have both organic eyes. I don't have any robot eyes.
Don't make me flex.
What happened was I got new prescriptions, mm-hmm. and old frames, new prescriptions. The optometrist broke my glasses,
put
my lenses in. So all I have are my prescription sunglasses. So I'm that guy for the next 2 weeks.
Dude, so when I had to wear prescription glasses all the time, I got a pair of prescription glasses that had like sort of like a red type lens in it, because when the world gets too dark, I feel like I'm going through like with a blindfold on, right? Like I hate dark sunglasses. So having glasses on that actually made the world brighter, but blocked the UV, so I didn't have to be a little squinty mole person that I am. It was awesome. But they were a prescription and I needed to keep them on. So sometimes when we would be out all day or I'd be doing interviews, I would like leave my car. I'd be ripping through LA. I'd get to like wherever I was at to interview somebody. I'm like, fuck, all I have are these sunglasses on, which I could still see perfectly indoors. So I tell people all the time, like, yo, these are a prescription. It's not like a rock star thing or anything like that. And I would always do the disclaimer of like, these are prescription glasses. I have to keep them on. So I understand that sort of disclaimer when you walk a room, like, I don't think I'm cool.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm blind. And this is the only way I can get through it. How you been, bud?
Yeah. I've been good. Been good. It's you know, a little bit of everything happening going on. But yeah, trying to keep my head about me and carry on.
What's the mixture right now for you? Are you full-time freelance? You got a job someplace? Like what's how did the last year shake out for you? Where are you at right now?
Still about a 60-40, like doing quite a bit of freelancing. But things had definitely had to slow down a little bit with some like cancer diagnosis that came through our family. So
for you,
put a little bit of my wife.
Oh, fuck. Sorry to hear that, bud.
But it's good. She's tackling it, and we're taking one day at a time. And so with that sort of at the forefront, you know, ratcheting back a little bit on all of the extracurricular freelance and activities and stuff.
Well, let me tell you that now's a great time to start your own t-shirt company. There's never been a better time to start your own t-shirt company when you have that on the horizon.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you get that news, do you sort of reevaluate you as a working husband? Like, do I need to go get a job? Is the freelance ride over? Like how do you handle that news as far as, am I contributing enough here? Am I working hard enough? Because I know that that would be the first thing that would rattle through my mind.
It definitely is tough when you're trying to figure out, like, I need to make sure that everything's, you know, taken care of.
Yep.
But also don't want to be a ghost to the crew.
Right.
And I don't want any of that, like, abundantly, like, just weighing down on her with battling cancer and then like taking care of four kids
sure
that are homeschooled. It's just kind of like,
you don't understand, honey, I'm getting paid $150 a design for the Counting Crows. I gotta get this shit done. You feed the kids, take your medicine, and I'll be in there in like 12 hours. What's the matter with you?
Exactly. Yeah, so I mean, but she's always been like super strong, independent, and so the she's like, no. She honestly, she's been like, sometimes it worries me when she's like, no, you, I've got it. You do this and, you know, carry on, do that. And I'm like, I don't want to take you at your word, but I don't want to not take you at your word. And so there's that.
Well, I'm sure that
balance.
Well, I'm sure for her perspective, it's like keeping it as normal as possible and keeping the mind busy is probably a very good place to be. You know, like, what are you going to, just, I think once you sit in a chair and put a little blanket over your legs and go, it doesn't get better from there. Right. Like you got to keep moving.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've been pretty good about, you know, keeping busy and not busy in like just with stuff, but active is what I was meaning.
Right.
But like, you know, earlier on in the spring, it was a lot easier to do the walks at lunch and after dinner. And as the summer months are creeping in, it's getting, you know, it's not California hot, but it's Carolina humidity.
So dude, it's,
you get like 20 yards and you're just sort of like,
I remember that from living in Louisville. I mean, it's still like, it feels like fall out here right now. Like I walked the dog this morning with a hoodie on. Oh, it's man. The weather here is perfect. The rest of the world is melting. It's like California just knows how to always just like, I think I'm going to do this right now because that will one up everybody else. And as I've said before,
100%.
I stare at these palm trees all the time and I go, the palm tree, it provides no shade. It actually is how you're going to burn your house down the fastest, because the palm tree is like a candle. They call it the candle effect, where your palm tree is so high up in the air that you can't get out all the dead brush inside the palm tree. So when the fires start, the embers that flow through the air, they hit your palm tree. They get the palm tree going, and then the palm tree starts puking down embers, and now your roof's on fire. So I was looking at these things. I go, what are the point of the palm tree? And I was like, the palm tree is literally the middle finger of trees, because it's literally like, you only grow it to be like, what's up, bitch? I can grow a palm tree in my yard. Fuck you, rest of the country. Like, that's the only reason why you have them. They provide nothing other than showboating. You know, they're just the showboating of trees that will also, at the same time, burn your fucking mansion down, you rich motherfucker. So, Doc, sorry to hear about that.
Palm tree.
Sorry to hear about the bad news in your family, and I hope that you guys are able to rally around this and make it as good of a thing as possible, my friend.
Yeah, we're doing just that. We're about halfway through the chemo, and so it seems like it'll be good.
Good, good. Hey friends, I hope you enjoyed part one of today's episode of WYFP. What a bunch of rowdy and fun guys getting ready for a holiday weekend here in America, huh? I mean, this is basically like listening to Animal House on audio cassette. Like, this is a bunch of partying, and I'm sure you want to hear how crazy the rest of today's party gets in part two of the episode. Head over to the Circle of Trust at AID.network to hear part two, available only for members. And also, if you're a member of the Circle of Trust, make sure you keep a look over where you download the episodes. That's where I announce when the recording session will be for episode 6 that will take place next week. Enjoying this session, enjoying this series. I knew that a lot of these would get serious. We'd talk about problems. I also wanted to do episodes like this one where it's a little bit more loose format, just hanging out, having fun, talking about whatever comes up. And if that sounds like a good time to you, then we'd be glad to have you. All right, let's get started with part two right now over at AID.network for members of the Circle of Trust. My question for you is the question that I'm asking the group today.
Okay.
What has gone away from America in the last 4 months that drove you insane over the last 4 years?
Oh, man. What has gone away in the last 4 months?
Like, when you just think about what your life feels like right now compared to rolling into 4th of July over the last 4 summers, how does it feel different? Because it's actually only been 4 months.
That's crazy. Man, honestly, I don't know if it's just like not being sort of talked about as much, but the polarization is definitely,
it's gone.
Like, it's down.
I mean, it's not gone completely.
No,
but there's just not friction everywhere you turn, right?
Yeah.
And I'm right there with you.
I mean, it's been nice.
Yeah. No, that it was getting, I remember around September and October, it was getting so insane that everywhere you go, it felt like everyone was looking for a fight. And then after that Saturday in November, once it was finally called, it was like somebody just let the air out of the balloon. I mean, there's still people that are mad. I mean, January 6th proved that there's people that are still fucking mad. But most people just were like, it's over now. I'm not going to fight every fucking detail.
Yeah. I mean, there's still crap to, you know, rub people the wrong way, and still sure. Things that people should be upset about, and still things that people should not be upset about that will always light up, you know, a fire under somebody.
Sure. But just the actual, like, everybody always looking for a fight at all minutes of the day, that seems like it's dissipated.
Yes, it does seem like that fight has gone dormant. So that's nice.
Yeah, that's real nice. So what are we working on freelance right now?
Trying to wrap up a website and branding identity for a eucalyptus farmer out in north of San Diego.
Oh, wow.
That it's been a fun project. Yeah.
What does one do at a eucalyptus farm? Just do you sell the plants to other people, or do you sell it to big eucalyptus?
Currently, their main client are other wholesale clients that are basically either selling it to floral shops, or they're being, you know, turned into wedding bouquets and arrangements and things of that nature for you know, clients and shops around the country. So
it's like the alpaca scam. When you buy alpaca, you just sell other people alpaca, and then they sell other people alpaca. Nobody knows what to do with them. They just keep passing these things around.
Exactly. So, but I mean, at least the eucalyptus will make your living room pretty and smell pretty for a little bit before dying.
I mean, you've never had alpaca in your living room, obviously, to brighten up the room. Nothing better than an animal that will spit on you.
Breathe deep. The smell of beauty.
I'm going to bounce over to Dylan Goldberger, Brooklyn, New York. Dylan, what's up, brother? You look like you might be a little toasty right now.
It's hot in here. Is it too loud with the fan on?
No, I can't hear the fan. Okay, cool. So no central air in that Brooklyn live workspace?